Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 22, 2023. The biggest goyist in the world. Question: it is said in Kabbalah that those who are greater than their friends have more egoism. Surely you are the greatest egoist of all, are you not? Answer: I have always been a very big egoist. So much so that I simply could not hear others and be in tune with them. Question: how do you have the patience now to listen to the most stupid statements? Answer: the fact is that I integrate with the one who asks, in his desire. His desire is new in the world. It does not matter that I went through that already and he did not. In the general system, this desire has not yet been corrected, and when a person asks, I connect to his desire and make a correction. For me, this is an opportunity to do more, so I am glad for such manifestations. The same questions can be repeated for thousands of hours, but each time they are asked by different elements of the general system of souls, and therefore every time I look at this as an opportunity for correction. With my answer, I connect a person to the spiritual, and he continues on. Switching occurs through me. It is just a system, like that which we see today in technology, in computers, and in some large networks. It is a system. Of course, it works on completely different principles, primarily on the principles of bestowal. Secondly, it is integral. Everything in it interacts simultaneously, there is no time, no cycles. This is not a pulse system, but an analog one. It is impossible to describe it. But in principle it is possible to influence each other in some way. Prayer is called the revelation of desire, and the answer to prayer is the reception and fulfillment of desire. There are two very interesting articles in the Book of Zohar about raising prayer and about its fulfillment. These laws of commutation are described there. From CabTV's I Got a Call. The Biggest Goyist in the World, July 14, 2012. The Last Generation, Perception of Reality. Question: what is the perception of reality of a person of the last generation? Answer: the reality of the last generation is that people will see all the connections between the numerous parts of nature. Nothing will change. Only the understanding of connections will change. For example, if an alien suddenly came to our planet, he would not be able to understand the differences between us. It would be incomprehensible to him that these are policemen, these are thieves, these are rich, these are poor, these are women, and these are men. It does not have that understanding. It is the same with us. When we reveal the upper world, we see nothing new except that we begin to understand the correct relationship between all the elements of creation. It is so amazing and capacious, it gives an understanding of the depths of everything that happens in the universe, with the unborn, with the born, with the living, and with the dead. Everything is included here, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human matter in all its cycles. But most importantly, there is a network of connections and mutual influences between parts of all degrees of nature before their origin in this world and during their existence in this world and after. When this interaction is revealed in its entirety, a person sees an infinite, eternal picture that gives answers to all one's questions without exception. Everything becomes clear to a person in whatever has happened, is happening, and will happen in the world. He clearly understands the law by which everything develops because he sees the interconnection of all parts of nature. It is like embroidery on a hoop. On one side there is a beautiful picture, and on the other side there are knots, and if you cut them, everything will fall apart. We are like that, without feeling the connections, we move away from each other. From CabTV's The Last Generation, December 27, 2017. Grasp the feeling of the Creator. In physics, there are phenomena that based on some alternative possibilities and research, we come to the conclusion that something exists, but we cannot determine it even indirectly. We have the same problem with the Creator. People guess and make assumptions about Him, and on these bases philosophies, religions, and whatnot arise. What is this force that determines, creates, and brings everything to life? We cannot feel this either in our bodily senses or with artificially created instruments. We cannot. We do not have such a measuring tool or some kind of scanner or X-ray. Kabbalah directs a person to create a device within oneself that will enable the person to sense the Creator, tune oneself to this phenomenon, this force, this field, and by continuously changing oneself to come closer and closer to it. You need to work tirelessly on yourself and then it will happen. It is said that after you make certain quantitative and qualitative efforts which are called Igati, came, you will reveal Him, which is called Matsati, found. And that is it. The only problem is that we do not know exactly what kind of efforts there are. And for that we have been given a group and all the conditions that Kabbalists write about. In principle, Kabbalah exists only to help a person not be confused, but to apply the right amount of effort in the right place and as efficiently as possible. And then, when you grasp the tail of the feeling of the Creator, and you already have it, you begin to move forward along it. You grab the end of the rope and climb up. The main task of Kabbalists is to bring us to the first contact in order to grasp the feeling of the Creator. Therefore, every day you need to change and be afraid that you are losing time. After all, here you are racing against time. From CabTV's I Got a Call. How to change every second, July 14, 2012. Dissemination is a push to rise. Comment: you say that dissemination is more useful to us than to the world because the world does not change. We must change it. My response: yes, the more I pass the light through me to the whole world, naturally the more I ascend and rise. It is an interconnected system. I cannot ascend unless the next layer forms underneath me. This is how I grow, only through the students. Once upon a time, the first Kabbalists were at the level of Nehi, the lowest Sephirot. Then a layer of students started to form under them who reached the level of Huggat, and then to the level of Habad. That is, everything grows from the bottom to the top because more and more corrected souls are connected from below. The same thing happens with us. If you want to rise even a little, you need some more people to form under you. For example, if you make a certain dissemination project in such a way that many people will awaken from it to a correct action and as a result they somehow indirectly, no matter how, reach the source of light, then naturally, a huge foundation will be formed under you so that you can rise. From CabTV's I Got a Call. Personal Benefit, September 8, 2012. Distributing the sparks of bestowal. Comment: Jewish people have their own purpose and that is why the point in the heart is revealed in them. But others do not have these sparks. But sometimes you say they will still awaken in everyone. Answer: no, the shattering was only among Jews. Therefore, there are parts of the desire of the common Malkut into which the sparks of bestowal have penetrated more or less, but they necessarily exist somewhere. Therefore, there are such nations, such parts of civilization, that cannot independently feel the point in their heart or ignite it by attracting the upper light upon themselves and creating an inner light out of the surrounding light. And there are those who gradually will be able to do so. Thus, there are nations closer and further from correction in accordance with the so-called 70 nations of the world, the seven Sephirot of Zir and Pin. Therefore, they are divided into more active ones, not as low, with awareness and perception, as well as less active, more passive ones. But this does not say which of them is higher or lower. This only speaks about the correction process, who is earlier or later, who should help those lagging behind. And then, once everything is formed into a general system, it turns into a sphere where everyone is absolutely equal. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Jews Always Win, June 9, 2012. New Life 454. Israeli-Arab Relationships.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Zoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about a very painful problem, the rioting of Israeli Arabs. We'd like to understand what's going on, where is it headed. Be with us, Nitzan, please. Yeah, on this talk we'd like to focus on the very special, complex, complicated and tense relationship between Israel and the Israeli Arabs. It seems that we're destined to live together. We didn't really choose it. This is simply how it is. And we're living in the same country. The Israeli Arabs, they have the same rights. They're equal rights citizens. And our relationship is very complex. There are two sides to it. On the one hand, there are the Israeli Arabs that, all in all, want to live in peace together. By the way, the Israeli Arabs now comprise about 20% of the population of Israel, and about 83% of them are Muslims. And so this is the public that I'm focusing on right now. Muslim Israeli Arabs. In some of our cities, like in Akko and Jaffa and other places, we have really good relationships. And on the other hand, at the very same time, recent riots show that violence comes exactly from there, because a person that you live with, that you're neighbors with, that we're kind of brothers. We're living together for so many years, so can't we find a way to live in peace together? And suddenly we see that there is this violent outburst, which is really frightening, creating distrust. And so I'd like to focus on the relationship. I know that you're looking at things very globally, but also you look at relationships, and there's a very unique relationship, Israeli-Arab relationship here. What is it about it? Really? I don't know what is there to add to what I said before. I think that delving into these matters on the level that you want to pull me into, on the human, psychological, sociological level, it'll only confuse people. Because really, there's no way for me to work with the Israeli Arabs that you're asking specifically about them, but to show them how we connect among us, the Jews, and how we can accept them among us, for them to also be connected with us. There's no other work. I understood that they have a special role. Of course, every nation has a special role. The Israeli Arabs and the Arabs in general, it's a very special role. First of all, these are our cousins. Their religion isn't idolatry. They're not worshipping any graven image and so on. Meaning, psychologically wise, philosophically wise, we have a pretty similar outlook on life. All throughout history, We were in touch with one another. There were periods in history when the people of Israel, suppose when they were in exile in Spain and so on, in those times, where there were very good relations. But again, it's not up to them or up to us, but it's up to the general process that we have to go through, the historical process. There's no one to praise or condemn here. And so, I really don't know. I completely abstain myself from these kinds of researches. What's special here or not, or about my character or their character, if we're about to change the human level of the Israeli nation, the Arab nation, of all the nations, then what's the point in talking about what happens in their day-to-day relations that can change from one moment to the next, if I'm already operating these great fundamental forces of nature? And therefore, what scientists and so on are dealing with here, it's really like children building something from sand that a moment later, it's gone. And it's useless. Besides publishing something about it in some newspaper or booklet or have some kind of a convention about it. But we have to see these things in a global way. Also, the global form that we're engaged in and that we correct every time, it also changes. But it changes and at least influences the essence of our life, our connection and so on. And this is something that we can do. So I'm saying, let's start connecting. Let's start drawing into our connection also the Israeli Arabs, even before we ourselves have reached connection. Let's start seeing how it is. Let's start researching, investigating the systems of our connection, but already compared with the corrected form. This is interesting, because one way or another we have to advance in this direction. This is a good research that will help us better understand, feel the situation, the forces of nature that are operating in us, how we identify with them and so on, how we advance. This is something that I do. But to simply examine our current relations with our neighbors that are like this, like that, and so on, there are many researches about it. I don't know, there are entire institutions that this is what they do. And we see that they can even bring precise results or correct results, but by that, they don't change anything. And so, what is there for me to know about things that I can't work with, that I can't change? Suppose now they'll give me a report about the situation of the Israeli Arabs and the Jews and the connections between them. Suppose it's ideal. What can I do about it? On the contrary, I have to change these things. I don't want to look at it. I have to only look at in what way do I activate the forces of connection from Israel, from within Israel, and influence the forces of connection that I form, shape within Israel. How by them do I adhere all of humanity, starting with our neighbors, and all of humanity into one body? But I don't have that force, because first and foremost, I did not generate it among Israel. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to have in my hands. Because Israel is the same letters as Li Rosh. It's like you have a beast, body and head, and then I need the head. The beast, it's ready. It shouts at me through the intifada and anti-Semitism and other things. It's yelling at me that I'm doing wrong, that I'm not leading it to a good state. It's like a cow standing in the middle of a swamp, and the swamp is swallowing it in. It's crying, it's shouting, and I'm not giving it the head in order to lead it to the right place, to get it out of the swamp. Yeah? So what else is there to think about? And we're falling behind in this respect. So we should form the head, and our head is a special mechanism where all of us are connected. And the moment we become connected, they have to know why are we doing it, what kind of work are we doing in order to connect, in order to unite. So all of the people of Israel, here in Israel, at least the Jews that live here in Israel, they have to find their connection. And how to find the connection? For this, we have a method. And what form are we supposed to reach? We do know from the wisdom of Kabbalah, and we have to implement these things, and then we'll reach tranquility with our neighbors and with the rest of the nations of the world. They'll come to help us. You're describing a state where the people of Israel connect among them, unite, and it solves problems. What does it mean, solves problems? It's like that head that takes the body of, suppose, the cow to a good place. How do the feelings of deprivation, for example, there will be no feeling of deprivation. None of the nations of the world will feel deprived. And it's interesting, and I'll tell you why. It says that the nations of the world will take Israel on their shoulders and bring them to the temple in a perfect state. So what? The nations of the world bear us on their hands, and what? We're on their hands, and we're proud about it. What's the idea behind it? Yeah, and it's the prophet who speaks about it. So what's the idea? The idea is that they're the ones capable of doing it, not we. There's a partnership here, very unique one. They have to give us the strength. We have to give them the goal. They have the forces. We don't have any forces. We're the so-called, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, Galgal Ta'anayim, vessels of bestowal. We have no forces. The people of Israel are small and weak. But they have an idea. They have a message. They see the goal. Like a head. What is a head? What the head has is the power of the mind, of the vision, but not for the realization. In order to realize things, you need the body, the forces, the hands, the legs, and that's called the nations of the world, and therefore one can't work without the other. It's true that the head has to be connected to the shoulders of the body. And so of course it says that they will take us on their shoulders because as a head, regarding the body. But the body that takes orders from the head and leads itself towards the correct goal, towards the temple, it also leads the head to the temple, leads everyone. And therefore, there's no drudgery or second class here. But it works together. And we know that in an integral system where all the parts are interconnected, there's no cell in the body, even on the ankle of some cell. It's as important as the cell in the brain, in the most sensitive and important place. Why? Because regarding perfection, there's no difference between the parts. Because whole, complete, perfect, it's 100% whole and complete. And only during the time of correction, there's a difference between them. But when they reach the round state, there's no difference between them. They're all equal. And therefore, they won't feel that they're deprived. I even see it on a few of our friends from the nations of the world that used to be big anti-Semites and used to lead anti-Semitic organizations, how much they're connected with us today, both from the United States, from KKK, and from other places in Middle America, and also from Russia. And I also hope to see those from Europe that we're especially working on the connection there now. It's all up to us. They're all the time shouting that Israel are to blame for what's happening. They're actually turning to us to set things straight. They're pushing us to do what? To remind the head what's the vision. This is how the general force activates them from its integral and whole degree in order for them to put pressure on us from all sides down to the last detail. Nothing's redundant. It's all calculated by that system. And if we respond correctly, then first of all, immediately we will turn them into aiding forces. Suppose Henry Ford. You read his books? Yeah. He's such an anti-Semite that could give anything in order to destroy and erase the people of Israel, and along with it, see what he erased, that Israel have to lead us to the perfect state, that if Israel will want, then we will so-and-so, meaning he admits it, that we have the intensity, the power. Yeah, how much he wants for it to happen. Hitler wrote it. We don't want to bring these quotes here as if these are sources. But really, we have to learn from that how much all these big anti-Semites understood. This is why they were big. They understood our role, what we don't really understand. And they called out justfully, also to their people, look what the Jews are supposed to do with us, and they're not doing it. So therefore, once we do the work, once we wholeheartedly want to achieve completion and wholeness, and for the nations of the world, because we understand that actually this wholeness among the nations of the world, this is what leads the entire system to its complete perfection, to the end of its correction. So that very moment we start feeling how much they help us, that they're devoted in heart and soul in a way that only they are capable, because we can't do it, because our head stands in our way. We're constantly scrutinizing new things. And for them, it's not so. They truly become connected to us, adhere to us. And therefore, our work isn't among the Israeli Arabs, like you put it, but among the people of Israel. I want to further scrutinize the deprivation. Today, in Israel, there are two kinds of citizens. Those that feel first class, the Jews, and those that feel second class, the Arabs. And you're saying that if the Jews will start developing the correct right systems of connection between them, of mutuality and so on among the Jews, which I define as first class citizens in Israel, this will project on to the second-class citizens, that this how the Israeli Arabs feel themselves? Yes. How will it influence what the Israeli Arabs feel? Because they feel second class. Bala Sulam writes at the end of the introduction to the Book of Zohar that if Israel will start connecting correctly, in mutuality, unity, mutual guarantee, don't do to others what you hate, love another as thyself, especially Arvut, mutual guarantee, then the force of connection, it will as if pour on from the people of Israel, like with a full vessel. It will pour on to the nations of the world, and then the nations of the world will feel where the force of perfection comes to them from and will unite with the people of Israel. And we have to understand that this is the only influence from part to part, from the people of Israel supposed to the nations of the world, by which the nations of the world will not feel themselves second class. Why? The imagery you gave, it's like a vessel, like a cup that I filled it and it's overflowing now. It's pouring. How is that? What is that? Because everyone feels their deficiency according to what they feel, according to their desire. You can compare the two and say, this is more, this less, but if I don't have this deficiency, what do I do? Suppose I don't want to be Einstein. I wish him luck, he's Einstein. I'm not. I don't have such a deficiency. But I do want to be a bodybuilder like my neighbor. Einstein, he has a strong mind. My neighbor, he has a strong body, and this I do want. Meaning there is the matter of inner preparation here. Meaning, will they be envious of us about our rule or not? They won't. You're talking about the future state. Yeah. I'm asking about today. Today too. Suppose we do what you said. Take the Jews, start creating mutual guarantee among them. Here in Israel, suppose. And creating good relations among them, you're saying that this will pour on and will quench the feeling of deprivation that the second-class citizens feel nowadays in Israel? So it says in the Kabbalah books. So it says, yes. So now I want to understand how the inner relation processes among the Jews will really quench the feeling of deprivation that the Israeli Arabs feel. So how the processes among the so-called first-class citizens among the Jews, how will it make the, so to speak, second-class citizens, the Arabs, not feel deprivation? Now they feel deprivation because that deprived part doesn't receive from you what they're supposed to receive. What are they supposed to receive? Why are they coming to you? Blaming you for all their problems. They're saying that they're dependent on you, that you can do a certain work that they can't, that by this you rob them of all the good and abundance that can spread in the world, and all the nations of the world blame you for it soon. The UN will get together and say that Israel, they're to blame for everything. It's a shame that they exist. They're the source of all the problems in the world. We won't allow them to exist. Why? Because if we allow this people to exist in the land of Israel as the nation of Israel, by this we as if allow this wound to exist that poisons our entire human body. This is how the whole world feels. Yes. Can you describe what Israeli citizen who's not a Jew that lives in Israel, what does he feel? I think that he feels that all of his problems come from us. Why does he feel that? Feels that from nature, from within. I'm sure that those people that are fighting us, with, that are going against us, with knives, with tractors, with the car ramming, everything. These are people that feel that they have no choice. I have to erase those people. I have to get rid of them. But that person doesn't feel that, on the other hand, his future depends on me. He only feels the need to erase me. Oh, then I won't have any problems. To turn things so that now he'll receive such forces from me by which he'll succeed. This is something that he doesn't think about. No one teaches him about it. I'm not passing this knowledge on to him because I, as an Israeli, as a Jew, don't know these things myself. First of all, we have to do it in Israel. But again, I'm telling you, the nations of the world, they will all accept what we're doing. If we'll care for the general correction of the world, they will immediately agree with it. Let's do the following. Let's start today. Let's fantasize. Suppose today we were to start working on our connection among the Jews in Israel. Yeah, the Jews in Israel. Were we to begin our connection now, there'd be no intifada. When? Immediately. Immediately, there'd be no intifada. Why? Because we're operating through the general system. By this, we neutralize all the evil forces. And what will that person who wants to take a car and run over Jews now feel? He feels that everything's fine, that everything is headed towards the good. He'll feel that there are good forces starting to operate in humanity. And he'll even start feeling towards Jews that I want to get along with them, it's possible to work with them, we're cousins, we can all be together. Where will he get these thoughts from? Where? From the same source from where he gets the thought to kill you now from. Where does he get this thought from? As a result of the disbalance that you cause in the world to the general system. How is that? Because you're not balancing the forces, the plus and minus. Only you as a Jew can do that. What are the plus and minus? Start connecting the Jews among them. Start reaching a state where all of Israel are friends. Love another as thyself. And then what thoughts will they have? Then it will pour onto them like from a full vessel. Like water pouring out. This is how it's going to pour onto them. And they will accept it in the most natural way, 100%. They won't feel second class because they're in a complete system. And in a complete system, there's no first class, second class. A cell in the heel is as important as a brain cell. How will it penetrate the heart of that Arab that now wants to carry out a terror attack? Because all of humanity is connected at heart. All of humanity is interconnected. We're all interconnected. What's with you? We don't need anything else. I won't even have to explain these things to him. What you described sounds like putting an antivirus into your computer. You can't do anything about it. It's there, it's working. In the same system through which today he feels that you're harming him, in the same connection, he'll now feel that you're benefiting him. He won't be able to stop it. No? They have no free choice in anything. They're operated. You're the head. And they're the body. Our time's up again. Can you summarize what we talked about today? Let's go back to being Israel, meaning Yashar Kel and Li Rosh. What does that mean? Yashar Kel, it means to advance towards that perfect state that we have to be in with all of mankind and the entire world and all the worlds, and to be in unity with the Creator, with the general upper force. Let's push ourselves towards that. And then the entire world will follow. The moment you do it as a head, the entire world will follow as the body. Stop blaming others. We and only we. In the Torah, in the Kabbalah books, everywhere. It says that we are the only ones operating in reality, not them. We can shift the entire human development from a path of detriment to a path of good. This is all in all what we have to do, and the nations of the world are waiting for us to do it. So let's do what we have to do. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Michael Lehtman, on Quora, can you define love in one sentence? Love is to place the desires of others above one's own desires. Based on Cab TV's I Got a Call. How to find the purpose of your child with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman on June 27, 2012. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman June 27, 2012.